This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and you can call us this hour. We've got plenty of time to answer your questions. 877-726-TALK is our number. 877-726-8255. And this week, a week where many are on vacation, including the POTUS, President of the United States, took a rare break from his frenetic schedule to chill out at his estate in New Jersey. And we're still here. We're live. We're answering your questions. I'm precisely where I like to be on weekends, right behind this very microphone, where I can share vital health information with you. So call us 877-726-TALK. And this item comes to us from the New England Journal of Medicine. And it's a remarkable article because New England Journal of Medicine generally is about promoting new medications and promoting new surgical techniques. And this is an article that is critical of our rush to judgment in terms of performing surgery on men with early prostate cancer. Now, it may seem totally counterintuitive, because if you got cancer, your first impulse is get it out. Take it out. And that was the principle that guided early cancer surgery. The more radical the surgery, the better. And this led to such outrages as the radical Halsted mastectomy, whereby they took virtually half the chest wall of women away when they had their first intimation of breast cancer. It was a type of surgery that held reign for 40 years or more, in starting the early parts of the 20th century. And then it became recognized that more sparing surgery for breast cancer was equally effective. And now they're looking at prostate cancer, and what they're saying is that radical prostatectomy for early prostate cancer in men doesn't make a difference. Not only in terms of the ultimate outcome, which is how long are you going to live, mortality, but it may not even make that much of a difference in terms of whether you're going to die of prostate cancer. So here's what I think is happening. And this is actually something that validates an approach that I've been taking, along with such pioneering urologists as Dr. Aaron Katz, who's been a frequent guest on my podcast. He coined the term not just watchful waiting, but active holistic surveillance. Yes, you've got cancer. Don't just stand there, do nothing, or rather do something. Change your lifestyle, take the right supplements that are healthy for your prostate, exercise, which also seems to reduce mortality from prostate cancer. And I was very happy the other day to see one of our men who's on that regimen. He has prostate cancer. It was early prostate cancer, and we encouraged him to do active holistic surveillance. And that doesn't mean being irresponsible and just leaving medicine altogether. We said, make sure that at least for the first couple of years that you get repeat biopsies. Biopsies are no fun, but it's important to identify whether the cancer is coming roaring back, at which point you adjust your strategy. And you say, well, maybe you do need surgery or radiation. But in this case, I was very happy to read the biopsy results from this guy whose prostate was sliced and diced with a prostate biopsy, and they found no trace of cancer. This after a complete modification of his diet, which, by the way, helped him in terms of his weight, in terms of his cardiovascular risk factors, taking the right supplements. We're extremely gratified to see that now the urologist is saying, okay, you don't need another biopsy in a year. Let's wait another 6 months. You can wait a year now. And thereafter, it may be 2 years. And after a while, they may just leave him alone, following his PSA, which remains low. So in this study, the researchers conclude, and this is a big study with a lot of impact, follow-up of prostatectomy versus observation for early prostate cancer. After nearly 20 years of follow-up among men with localized prostate cancer, in other words, it hadn't spread, surgery was not associated with significant lower all-cause or prostate cancer mortality than observation. Whoa, did you hear that? Surgery did nothing to impact either the overall risk of death or the risk of death from prostate cancer. And yet, how many doctors still, you know, in an abundance of caution, yeah, you know, it might come back, it might, you know, it might explode into metastatic cancer, you're better off taking it out. And men being very pragmatic and wonky and technically oriented, they say, you know, they think like engineers. They say, well, there's cancer there, so totally makes sense. Take the cancer out and I'll live longer. But why do men sometimes die sooner after prostate cancer? Well, part of the reason is the surgery is not trivial. It can cause leakage. It can cause urinary urgency. It can cause erectile dysfunction. And there's nothing like those types of problems to sap a man of his mojo, which does have an impact on his overall health and mood and motivation, and may put men closer to one foot in the grave. Some of you men out there who've undergone treatments, whether it be radiation or surgery for prostate cancer, can attest to the fact that life just may not be the same after treatment. And I'm not saying that there's no place for surgery. With aggressive cancer, surgery may be called for, especially in men who are younger, whose life expectancy may be longer, and who have higher risk that during the 20 or 30 years of additional life that they might expect, the cancer could come roaring back. But, boy, what are you going to do with a study like this that says that surgery has little effect on mortality? I think what's called for, and they're working on this, better tests to determine which men really need to get surgery who are at high risk, who have aggressive cancers, either blood tests or biopsy techniques that reveal that the cancer that they have is a cancer which is likely to grow rapidly and metastasize. But we're just on the threshold of discovering techniques that inform our decisions about whether men can do watchful waiting or active holistic surveillance versus a very, very aggressive intervention. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. And let's check the call board for callers. Okay, let's move on. What percentage of American men would you say are over fat? I'm not saying obese, I'm saying over fat. Okay, this is a discouraging article because study finds 90% of American men over fat. So what does that mean? Well, worldwide, already it's been estimated that up to 76% of the world's population may be over fat. You may not notice it in some folks, but over fat means that they have higher risk for hypertension, high cholesterol, coronary heart disease, stroke, cancer, type 2 diabetes, gallbladder disease, osteoarthritis and gout, pulmonary disease, sleep apnea. They say that even many physically active people, including professional athletes in various sports, I'm thinking football linemen, yeah, okay, and certainly active U.S. military personnel may also fall into the overfat category. They say that traditional means of assessment, such as stepping on a scale or calculating body mass index, are ineffective determining whether someone is over fat. This is pretty simple. Researchers recommend taking a measure of the waistline and comparing it to height. The waist measure should be less than half a person's height. Okay, so let's say that you're 72 inches tall. That would be 6 feet. And your waist circumference is 36 inches. Well, you're on the threshold of being over fat. If it just went one more inch to 37, then your waist measure would be greater than half of your height. So there you have it. Those are the pretty simple criteria. You don't need fancy instrumentation to determine if you're over fat. But hey, you know, I think this article is a little oversimplistic because I have noticed that you take two individuals who may be, by this definition, over fat. Say a man who is 5 foot 10 and 180 pounds, two individuals side by side. They're both 5'10, 180 pounds. One may be metabolically fit due to exercise with a lot of musculature. Another may be at high risk for type 2 diabetes if they don't already have it because of the fat distribution. I think a better way of determining whether you're over fat is to use some of the new devices available. You can even get them in bathroom scales, which tell you what your lean body mass is and your fat percentage is. That's a more precise technique. Doctor's offices, of course, offer this as well. We do it at my clinic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and our number 877-726-TALK. And Michael is taking advantage of the opportunity to call us from Staten Island, New York. How are you doing, Michael?
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I love your program and giving us always state-of-the-art, cutting-edge information. I'm wondering, there's another holistic physician. In fact, he has a radio program on Saturday. You see, he's on Long Island. And he constantly tells his listeners he never prescribes or recommends supplements, of which he's a great advocate, before first testing their blood to determine the levels of different supplements and nutrients that are in their bloodstream. Yep. And I know you don't advocate that, and he comes on so strong. I was wondering what your view is.
I don't necessarily not advocate that, although I have to say that the more I get into this game, you know, 30 years plus of experience, the less enamored I am of blood tests. especially blood tests to determine levels of nutrients. Because, well, a couple of reasons. One is that blood tests aren't deadly accurate in telling you whether you need a certain nutrient. I mean, we tend to place a lot of reliance on blood tests. We say, well, those are the facts. That's what's there. You know, that, you know, you have this amount of that, that amount of this, too much, too little. But I have to say that looking at the methods that they use for some of these tests, the methods are very flawed. The tests can be really expensive. They're often not covered by insurance, and they don't yield that much information. An example of which, vitamin B12. Yes, we test for vitamin B12, but sometimes a patient can have what seems like a normal level of B12, yet they benefit from additional B12 because of their clinical situation. Maybe they have a mutation that requires more B12 to rev their methylation pathways, or maybe we want to prevent chemotherapy-induced neuropathy. So we give high-dose B12 or even B12 shots more than what it appears you need based on the clinical situation. Another problem is some of the nutrients we use we can't test for. We can't test for EGCG levels. We can't test for lutein levels or sulforaphane levels. So I do test patients for nutrient levels, and some of it is kind of like a teachable moment. I hold up the results and I say, your nutrition stinks. Look, your vitamin D is terrible. You don't have enough omega-3 fatty acids. Here it is on a piece of paper, hanging up on your refrigerator door with a kitchen magnet to remind yourself that you need to take supplements because when you came to my office, you were extremely depleted. So, I think tests can be useful. I don't use every single test in the book. Sometimes I do more testing when a patient situation is a little puzzling or enigmatic, and the nutritional deficiency may be a key to unraveling a person's health problems. But, there are also limits to nutrition. That's another thing I'll say is, you could test till the cows come home and replete people with vitamins till they're coming out of their ears, and the problem may lie elsewhere. They may have, food intolerance. They may have toxicity. They may have some kind of hormonal problem. So, or they may have an infection, and then, given vitamins galore isn't going to solve every problem under the sun, even though, I do believe in the power of nutrition. So there you have it. I think there's a place for testing for nutrients, but I don't place sole reliance on that. So thank you for teeing me up for that useful question. The answer is I sort of agree with that doctor, but I don't completely rely solely on nutritional testing, as probably he doesn't. Okay? Thank you very much for your call. All right. When we return, we're going to take a look at a new project that could cost hundreds of millions of dollars, undertaken by Apple to develop sensors to check your blood sugar via the iWatch. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number. We invite your phone calls. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you this weekend, and it's 877-726-TALK to get into the doctor's office with me. And James from Lenox, Iowa, how are you?
Fine, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question, and I want to know if you've made any studies on my situation or question. My dad had bladder cancer, and his second wife, my mother-in-law, got the same type of cancer, exactly the same, approximately about 5 years after he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if there's any correlation between that, or it was just an unfortunate circumstance.
Well, you know, it is concerning because, you know, let's say you said your father and your brother developed bladder cancer. We might say, well, that's possibly genetic. You know, there may be some flaw in their immune surveillance against cancer. Some people have oncogenes or cancer preventive genes which are flawed, which don't really provide a proper immune bulwark against cancer. All right, but you got two unrelated individuals, right? It's your stepmom, and the suggestion is that this is more environmental. Now, you're calling us from Iowa, and one thing I know about Iowa is that it's a farming area, and it's long been a farming area, and they use a lot of pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers. And was your dad in a farming business, or was he in some mechanical trade where he might have had environmental exposure?
Not that I know of. He was he was retired for probably 20 years.
Well, I know, but that's takes cancer a long time to develop. What did he do professionally?
Well, he was a salesman at one time, and he also worked in the automotive industry.
Bingo. Okay, so right there, you know, you got potential exposure to carcinogens. And what happens is, you know, the bladder is the excretory organ, and, you know, your body attempts to detoxify some of the stuff that's in the air, the water, the food that you eat. And then it concentrates in the urine, and it sits in the bladder. And when it sits in the bladder becomes a prime site. Your bladder and kidneys become prime sites for development of cancer. Were either of your parents smokers?
Yes, both of them were.
Bingo, right there. Okay, smoking, major risk factor for bladder cancer, because the carcinogens from smoke don't just sit in your lungs. They get absorbed in the bloodstream, and again, they get filtered out. And they go in a concentrated form into the kidneys and bladder, and there definitely is a higher risk of bladder cancer in smokers. So I guess some of this pertains to you, James, because you're saying, hey, you know, am I at higher risk for bladder cancer because of a parent? And the answer is maybe, but I actually think it must be maybe 20% hereditary and 80% environmental. So to the extent that you follow a clean lifestyle, are not exposed to industrial chemicals, are not a smoker, that you consume a lot of colorful fresh fruits and vegetables, and take nutritional supplements like EGCG and resveratrol and pomegranate extract and curcumin from spices, these are some of the things that have a preventive effect against bladder cancer. So I think that you're not doomed because of your heredity to experience this. And there's it's easily explainable why both your parents may have come down with this because of the potential for environmental exposure and smoking. That's probably the answer. Does that help you?
What you're doing, yes. I'm a true believer in intelligent medicine, and I'm trying to follow it as much as I can because I did have those concerns. And I appreciate your expertise and your advice.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for calling. All right. And another thing you can do while you're at it, make sure that you consume extra virgin olive oil. I talk about extra virgin olive oil constantly on this program. And, of course, this is a segue to an announcement about the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. But it's a perfect segue because we know that olive oil, especially when it's fresh and fragrant, is full of cancer-fighting polyphenols. And, of course, olive oil is a perishable food. But if you go to the supermarket, the olive oils there can sit on the shelf for many months or even years, while their flavors grow dull, flat, and even stale, and that also deprives them of their nutritional benefits. So my favorite olive oil is crafted by artisans. It's sent to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to my friends at the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And the founder, T.J. Robinson, who you've heard here on Intelligent Medicine, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter, curates these artisanal gold medal-winning olive oils from small farms around the world. And they can be sent directly to you as a member of the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And TJ has a special offer for my audience. You can try a bottle of his finest harvest fresh olive oil, which is normally $39 a bottle and well worth it, for just a dollar. And there's no obligation to buy anything else. So check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for just a buck. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. It truly is. I am a subscriber, and I enjoy my olive oil. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com, MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Okay, so this item, Apple engineers are working on the Holy Grail for this is biomedical engineering. Many companies have tried and failed to do this. It's developing sensors that can non-invasively and continuously monitor blood sugar levels to better treat diabetes. And, yeah, there are companies that create these sensors, but they have to be implanted under the skin. Everybody knows about the finger stick devices where you draw blood, and they're working it so that you can use minimal amounts of blood, and it's less and less painful. But Steve Jobs, who actually died of pancreatic cancer, experienced diabetes because his cancer affected his insulin-secreting organ, the pancreas, he envisioned wearable devices like smartwatches being used to monitor important vitals such as oxygen levels, heart rate. Well, they already have heart rate monitor built into the iWatch, but also blood glucose. And they've been working on it and working on it, but it's a tough nut to crack. But they look like they're on the verge of solving this problem, which could cost several hundred million dollars or even $1 billion in research investment. It could turn the Apple Watch into a must-have rather than a nice accessory for people who'd benefit from an easier way to track their blood sugar. I think it would be really fun to have that as a build-in or an option in a smartwatch, because even for people who don't have diabetes, it might be really interesting to track your reaction to various meals. And it might help you prevent yourself putting the feed bag on, because if you see the impact in terms of blood sugar of a food that you've just eaten, well, maybe, just maybe, that's a teachable moment for you, and you might avoid spiking your blood sugar through the stratosphere the way you just did with that cherry pie a la mode. So this new device, hotly anticipated, and I think it's really going to be a killer app when it finally comes out. All right, here's the good news. Soda consumption, according to Beverage Digest, has fallen to a 31-year low in 2016. So let's wind back the clock. 31 years ago was 1985, and that's when soda consumption in the United States peaked. Began to soar, let's put it that way, because it's in 2016, it receded to the levels that we saw in 1985. So there was certainly an uptick in soda consumption since the 1980s and the 1990s, the beginning of the 21st century, but now it's declining. So you feel sorry for the beverage industry? You think that giants like Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are going out of business? Nope. They are substituting other beverages, some of them high sugar beverages, others laced with chemicalized artificial sweeteners, energy drinks, flavored teas, sports drinks, bottled water, of course. and coffee drinks are surging. No longer do you have to make your coffee. You can buy it in a can and drink it, usually with added flavorings and sugar. So don't cry for the beverage companies. They've created the perfect diversification strategy to maintain their profits. So they say that soda market will likely remain challenging, but shrewd companies will roll with the punches and change up their product mix, probably to the detriment of most consumers. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you can call us. Our number is 877-726-TALK for Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1. With no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. During the show, you can call us at 877-726-TALK. But some people prefer not to call. Maybe they're busy or they're too shy to appear live on the air. So there are other ways to get questions to us. You can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll use those questions as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, one of our podcasts that you can download from drhoffman.com. Alternatively, you can go to, on your PC or Mac, on our homepage at drhoffman.com. There's a little box on the right, and if you click on it, you can record a question as Erwin did. Let's hear from Erwin.
I have been suffering from tinnitus, buzzing in the ears, for over a year. Brain scans are normal. They can't find any cause for it. The doctor said you just have to live with it. I was wondering if there are any nutritional remedies for treating tinnitus. What is your take on curing or abating tinnitus?
Thank you very much for that question, Erwin. You know, tinnitus, I have to say, after many years trying to find natural supplements for tinnitus, I've become skeptical of supplements that purport to cure tinnitus. There are a lot of them out there because tinnitus is a ubiquitous problem. A lot of people suffer from it, and there's a big placebo effect. So people, you know, buy this or that or the other tinnitus remedy, and you know, whether it's a homeopathic product or it's a vitamin supplement, herb, they may think they're getting some relief. But I have to say that the science, and I've looked at the science on, you know, whether this or that or the other supplement can cure or relieve tinnitus, and there's not much there. There are a couple of studies on ginkgo biloba, which works on the brain, not so much on the ear, but works on the brain. It's not that tinnitus may occur in some cases in the ear, but the roaring or the whining that you hear may be generated within the brain, and anything that helps brain function, like ginkgo, might be helpful. So a program of nutritional support for the brain using DHA-rich omega-3 fatty acids and ginkgo and things like bacopa, which strengthen focus and brain function, may put a dent in it. But I got to say that one big factor, and this is, we're trying to be holistic about this, in tinnitus, is that it is stress-related. There's no question that it's stress-related. Now, not to say that it's caused by stress, but it is annoying and depressing to experience these constant sounds. And as a result, people get really bent out of shape, understandably, and it becomes a vicious cycle. It becomes like, your constant foe that you're wrestling with, continually, and it becomes like a vicious cycle. And so techniques of relaxation, yoga, exercise, these can be beneficial in dealing with tinnitus. Are there also sometimes tinnitus triggers? Certain foods can be tinnitus triggers. Aspirin can be a trigger in some people. Caffeine can be a trigger in others. Excess salt can be a trigger in some people. And there's some otolaryngologists or ENT doctors who specialize in managing tinnitus, but so far they don't have a knockout treatment. Most of the treatments involve some form of masking, where they introduce a white noise that's kind of like using a noise-canceling headphone. And somehow that noise cancellation can minimize the perceived sounds of tinnitus. And I think the technology on this is going to improve. But they haven't really gotten the answer yet. And I tend to be a little skeptical about supplements that purport to be a magical cure for tinnitus. It is a challenging problem. All right, this item, sleeping less than 7 hours a night might make you fatter. And we've known this, is that sleep deprivation is associated with several things that can make you fatter. Have you noticed that when you sleep less, you get hungrier? Well, part of it is that there's just more hours to be hungry in. And part of it is that sleep deprivation actually spikes insulin levels, spikes levels of hunger hormones, and you eat more. So a new study finds that people who lack sufficient shut-eye, particularly those who sleep less than 7 hours a night, and that seems, for a lot of people, that's a luxuriant amount of sleep. Many folks are functioning on 5-6 hours of sleep. Hey, if you have a hour and a half commute each way, stuck in traffic, you got to put in 8 hours of the job, you have very little time to spend at home at leisure or with family, and people skimp on sleep. Students skimp on sleep. Kids spend a lot of time doing texting and on social apps, and they have sleep deprivation. So individuals who have less than 7 hours a night are at greater risk for obesity, and they're also at risk for lower HDL. They're at risk for higher hemoglobin A1C. Individuals who slept an average of 6 hours a night had waist measurements 3 centimeters greater than those who slept 9 hours a night. So what's 3 centimeters? That's about an inch. So clearly, sleep deprivation is part of the equation when it comes to our epidemic of obesity and degenerative disease. And this item, black seed, has entered my repertoire, particularly when it comes to treatment of asthma. Black seed, also known as Nigella sativa, can be a powerful asthma medication. This new study, Nigella sativa supplementation improves asthma control, a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. 80 asthmatics. The group that was supplemented with black seed, Nigella sativa, showed a significant improvement in the asthma control test scores. And there also was a reduction in blood eosinophils. Eosinophils are markers of allergy, often associated with allergic conditions like asthma and chronic allergic rhinitis. So think black seed for asthma. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us. And remember, the show is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You've got podcasts at drhoffman.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.